Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio, a very special Clash of Champions pre-show edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing tonight's Clash of Champions at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. And we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. A very big show tonight. Quite obviously a very big show tonight. Every WWE title is on the line. How many of them will change hands, we'll discuss in a moment. But first, let's get to a little bit of the news on what we can expect, apparently, going forward from SmackDown on Fox. Raw, of course, remaining on USA, and obviously NXT joining USA. We'd reported a couple of days ago that they were going back to the two-man booths. That looks to be the truth, and that Corey Graves and Michael Cole will both be going to SmackDown. Now, this obviously indicates that Fox taking SmackDown has changed the philosophy of the WWE, and that the WWE now feels they have to make SmackDown their anchor show. Raw has been the anchor show for I don't know how long. And SmackDown has always played second fiddle. But with this big new television deal, it appears as though the WWE has acquiesced to a lot of Fox's demands and decided that they're going to make SmackDown their A show. And they're bringing over what they feel is their A announce team and most of their A-list wrestlers to SmackDown. And that includes Becky Lynch, supposedly, which doesn't bode well for her tonight. Hard to take the Raw Women's Championship to SmackDown. So this is a very interesting thing because it appears as though it was not their intention to begin with. It appears as though the WWE had hoped to placate Fox by simply mixing in their top stars, saying we have a wild card rule and letting people come over there that Fox would want on their programs and that. And the poor ratings actually worried Fox to the point where there were some serious discussions about them not paying this type of money for those type of ratings. And I think, I have no actual proof, but I think what happened is that Raw became second banana at that point, and the WWE said, we have to keep this TV deal solid. No matter what we have to do, we have to keep this TV deal solid, and what Fox wants is the A show. That's going to be very interesting to see how that works out. Because for all of the great wrestlers that were on SmackDown, and arguably SmackDown being the better show most of the time, they never really got the ratings that Raw did. They were always a little under the ratings of Raw, sometimes a lot under the ratings of Raw. And the WWE has to make that change. So this is going to be a big change. I expect to see the draft that's coming up in October put even more top stars on SmackDown than Raw. I expect to see, this is why, by the way, that NXT on the USA Network is so important, because what they're basically doing is they're placating USA by saying, we're giving you that extra show. And I believe, firmly believe, that not only their 205 Live stars are going into NXT, I believe some of their top stars will be there too, to try to get more eyes on the product. I think we are going to see some large names from current SmackDown and Raw rosters hit NXT at some point. And what they're going to try to do is kind of combine this universe. It'll be very interesting to see if they can do this, if they actually achieve what they're looking for, or if they shoot themselves in the foot and just make everything weaker. I mean, you can't just draw everyone out of one area to placate Fox, and then what do you have? You have NXT and Raw, but Raw's been robbed of a lot of their talent. And from what I'm hearing, they're still saying that NXT wrestlers are going to be called up on a regular basis to both Raw and SmackDown, so that's going to get robbed. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work, Mike, but it does appear that WWE has now shown their hand, and their hand is that they're going to make SmackDown the A show.
The A show. Well, if they're going to make SmackDown the A show, they better book it like it, you know? I mean, they better write it like it and book it like it if they're going to make it the A show. Not just say they're going to do it, but do it, you know? And the fact of the matter is for me to believe they're going to do it, I'm going to have to be from Missouri, and they're going to have to show me, you know, that they're actually going to do that. Now, in terms of, we've already seen them kind of do this with when they sent Tyler Breeze down there, and they also, when he came back, Fandango's down in NXT, and I would assume that there are a lot more people that are going to go down to NXT as well that they just aren't doing anything with. I mean, I'd also be surprised if they work something out with Luke Harper and he goes down to NXT, you know?
His name's been mentioned. A lot of people's names been mentioned. The Revival's name's been mentioned, which we'll get to in a minute. Kevin Owens' name has been mentioned. Quite a few people, actually. And we'll just have to wait and see. Even Finn Balor's name has been mentioned. They want NXT to be big. And they want some name recognition. And for all the great talent down there, they're not super high on name recognition with the general public, with the general wrestling, the casual wrestling fan. The casual wrestling fan who might tune into Raw every week, but not much else, doesn't really know a lot of the NXT guys, if any of them. And likewise, the people who just tune into SmackDown, or maybe just Raw and SmackDown, they're not well-versed on the NXT talent. And they want them to become well-versed on them, and they know the only way they can do that is by putting some people down there that the audience already knows and will follow. So if you put a Kevin Owens down there, if you put a Cesaro down there, if you put a Finn Balor down there, and fans said, well, let me check this out because there's some good guys down there, then they're going to learn who these other people are. They're going to see these other people, and they're going to become aware of their talents and things. So I think that's what the WWE is shooting for, Todd.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like a lot of superstars who haven't been on TV in a while, like a Luke Harper, a Finn Balor, guys like that. And maybe the Ascension probably be a good fit to go back to NXT for a while just to get recognition, too.
That's a very, very good suggestion, actually. The Ascension needs it. Let them go back to NXT and you know, where they actually made a name for themselves and was, you know, treated pretty well down there. That's the WWE's goal right now as we see it, is to try to expand NXT's world a little bit, expand the eyes that will be on that product, because once again, they want good ratings for it. They know that AEW is around the corner with their show. And they want people hooked by the time AEW gets on the air. The only way they're going to do that with the fans that don't know of NXT right now is to hook them in somehow. And hooking them in would be to take some people off Raw, take some people off SmackDown. And it can't just be, you know, enhancement talent. It's got to be a couple of names that fans say, oh, wow. So this should be very, very interesting to see what's coming up in the near future. Some people have speculated that's why Kevin Owens was fired. He was going to NXT. I don't know that to be true. It could be a good fit. Finn Balor taking a couple of months off could be true. You would think he'd be coming back to do the Demon versus the Fiend, but we don't know. Maybe they're going to save that. Cesaro has already stuck his head into the UK NXT things, and we'll see what happens there. Really, we'll just wait and see. But I'm anticipating at least three or four top names, good, solid names going to NXT that you wouldn't expect. And that doesn't mean, you know, Bo Dallas. I'm talking about somebody that the fans will say, well, I have to watch. So we'll see what happens there. As far as the AEW is concerned, yeah, I avoided talking about this because this happens with all federations and doesn't really mean anything. But apparently there was a huge backstage fight between two of the female workers, one who wasn't selling to the other one. They got into a little bit of a skiff in the ring, and then they got into more than a skiff backstage. The very first girl signed to AEW contract has requested and been granted her release. And the women's division's looking a little shaky down there. Welcome to the world of trying to appease everyone when this is a business of egos. I could have told you everyone's not going to sit around the campfire singing Kumbaya, because many of them are not built that way. Just because perhaps Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and a couple other people are, does not mean everyone is. And you're going to deal with this on a constant basis. So welcome to the world of running a professional wrestling organization. It's not going to be all flowers and candy. And if NXT gets a grip on Wednesday night, the smartest thing they ever did was to rush it to USA. So they have an advance on AEW, because if they can get that advance and the fans start, you know, right now the fans have nothing to do on a Wednesday night, they'll do it. We may see the fans get hooked before AEW gets on the air, and that could be the difference. Not everyone has the network. Not everyone can watch it on the network the next day, because not everyone has the network. So we'll see what happens. This is very interesting moves happening both in AEW and WWE to further this fall's schedule. So let's get right to our predictions for tonight's Clash of Champions, which is going to be a really long show. And we'll start with Drew Gulak, obviously the 205 Live champion, against Humberto Carrillo, and I believe it's... who's the third one? Lince Dorado? Is that who? Yeah, I think it is. No belts changing hands here. Why bother? 205 Live is coming to an end. It's going to merge with NXT. They'll have something down there by which somebody else gets a hold of that belt, but they won't do it now. There's no real reason to do it now. If you're going to meld one into the other, there's no point of crowning a new champion for a couple of weeks, and no one in this is any more popular than Gulak. It's not like you got somebody that you say, well, okay, that's why, because he's going to have the championship and carry it on to NXT. That's not going to happen. So in my opinion, Mike, we're going to see Drew Gulak retain once again. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, like you said, there is no overriding personality like an Enzo that you say, well, he's got to have the belt because he's the personality, or Pac, you know, that he's the overriding personality, then he has to have the belt. There's none of that with that belt, and you're right. At some point, they're going to put either one of those two belts, the NXT championship, or even combine it with the North American championship.
Right.
You know, so you know that's coming. You know that's coming. So, yeah.
Okay, so I think it's probably Drew Gulak retaining. Todd, what's your thoughts?
I got to go with you guys, Drew Gulak.
Okay, so I think that one's probably a no-brainer. Why would you switch now? Neither one of these guys, like we have stated, are any better personality or have any better following, so I don't see you switching. Let's go to the Women's Tag Team Championship match, where Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross will take on Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville in the Fire and Desire tag team. You know, this has been an odd thing because usually, you know, on the go-home shows, whoever looks horrible is the person who's winning, and the person who looked horrible was Mandy Rose. But in this particular case, you've developed a large storyline involving Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, and it's not really went anywhere. It's sort of just treading water on this. We really are best friends. And if you're just going to end it with them losing to Fire and Desire, that's a really, really, really bad story. On the other hand, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross probably don't need the belts. And Fire and Desire certainly do. But the deciding factor for me was this. You took it off Bayley and Sasha very quickly. You put it on the Iconics to do absolutely nothing with them. They didn't even defend it. And then you put it on Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. And if you take it off them this quickly, I think you're undermining the belt a lot. They haven't had it that long. They have defended it a lot, but they've not had it that long. And I think this is probably one of those situations where the WWE realizes we probably didn't do the titles any favors with the way we promoted it. And this is our time to make up for that. So they'll probably hang on to them. I would imagine they'll hang on to them just so that the women's tag team titles appear to mean more than they have in the past. So I'm going to go for the team of Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, Mike. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go for that team as well. And look, if they take it off of them, it would be just another example of them proving Sasha Banks right.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. I don't know. I mean, would the WWE do it? Yeah, probably they would. And again, it's not that Fire and Desire don't need the tag team belts. They need something because they've been going nowhere quick, both of them. But I just don't see it. I don't see how it's going to help. Fire and Desire are now going to fight who? All the people that Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross already beat. And I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Now, could they use this match to further some storyline? Of course. They could turn Sonya Deville on Mandy Rose or vice versa. They could turn Nikki Cross on Alexa Bliss or vice versa, I guess. But I'm not sure I see that. I don't think the WWE sees this as anything critical or any huge match to stress over or overbook or anything. I think they just say, oh, well, it's just another match. Just a match. And for that reason, I'm going to go with Bliss and Cross. Todd, what's your feeling?
I got to go with Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross as well to retain their belts. They just won the belts not too long ago, like a month ago they won them. What's the sense switching the belt changing hands now?
Yeah, it would seem too quick to me. I agree with that. Let's go to the one match that really isn't for a belt. And that is Roman Reigns versus Eric Rowan. And this one is one I'm kind of looking forward to now. I wasn't, but I am now. I think they did a pretty good job on SmackDown of making me interested in this match. And it's a no disqualification match, which should make it even more interesting. And of course, my first reaction is there is no way in hell Roman Reigns is losing this match. You know, Roman doesn't lose matches like this. But when they made the no disqualification clause, it set me to thinking. And it set me to thinking, is it possible that Daniel Bryan has faked his outrage and is going to help Rowan win tonight just to solidify he's the sneakiest guy in wrestling? It's possible. Is it possible Luke Harper comes out of nowhere to help Eric Rowan? That's possible. But I think they've set the table so strongly for Roman Reigns to win that he's not winning. Eric Rowan has just went solo. This is his first match. They've given him the mic. They've given him a purpose. And if he loses the very first thing he does, then he goes back to being obscure. He goes back to being the guy who, you know, comes out once a month. So I think somehow, some way, unfairly, Roman Reigns is going to lose this match. If I were a betting man and you put the gun to my head, it's very odd that Daniel Bryan wasn't seen on SmackDown, and I'll go with the Daniel Bryan option. Now, whether Daniel Bryan comes out and tries to help Roman win and ends up helping him lose, that's a possibility. But I do think that if Daniel Bryan is leaving, and there's some talk about Daniel Bryan actually going to 205 or going to NXT. If Daniel Bryan is leaving and going to help solidify the NXT roster, he needs to be involved in some way. So I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that Roman Reigns will not win this because I don't know what good it will do if he does. All it does is squash Rowan's push. It sets up maybe Daniel Bryan and Rowan, but do we want to see that? Is that better than Roman Reigns and Rowan? Probably not. I just don't see what good comes out of Roman Reigns winning tonight, Mike, so I'm going to go for Rowan.
I'm going to go for Rowan as well. And look, Daniel Bryan made it a point to say, I don't like liars. And I didn't do it, and I don't like liars. And I'm not lying. He made it a point to say that. So that makes me think, well, if he's making a point to say that, then they may be playing up that he was lying out the whole time, you know, and have him dump something on Roman Reigns or do something to him or something. You know, that's where my mind's going on this.
A good plot line would definitely be Daniel Bryan faking his outrage against Rowan, faking his attempt to save Roman Reigns from Rowan, and really setting up Roman Reigns for the kill tonight. That would be a pretty good plot line. Whether it takes place or not, I don't know. But I do know that there is really no upside to having Rowan just eat a spear and lose. I can't think of one. Todd, what's your thoughts? Who wins?
I got Eric Rowan.
Yeah, so we're all in agreement there. I mean, the WWE could do just the opposite. They could just have him eat a spear and lose. It wouldn't surprise me, but I just don't know what good comes out of it. So, once again, I'm going to give the WWE probably more credit than they deserve and say they wouldn't do that because it just doesn't make any sense. The United States Championship match, AJ Styles versus Cedric Alexander. You've already taken the tag team belts away from Gallows and Anderson at a time when every member of the OC had a belt. If you take the U.S. title off of AJ Styles, then you may as well consider the OC a mid-card faction. It's not that Cedric Alexander isn't good enough to hold the U.S. belt. He certainly is. It's not that there wouldn't be some outstanding matches with Cedric Alexander as champion. There certainly would be. It's just that if you want to continue to promote the OC as a major player in the WWE, you've already damaged him a little bit, and this would be another nail in the coffin. And AJ Styles has already lost clean in a tag team match to Cedric Alexander and lost by disqualification in a one-on-one. I see Cedric Alexander putting up a really good fight. I see Cedric Alexander coming close a number of times and leaving that match with people saying he was up to the task. He was very close to beating AJ Styles many times. He's definitely a major player, but not winning. Pulling the belt off AJ Styles right now and leaving the OC belt in the leverage would seem to be a really a self-destructive move, Mike, and I can't see why they would make it.
It would be. And look, I go back again. I went back to Ryan saying he's not a liar. I'll go back to what he said, what AJ said in the interview. How is it that every time they can have can consider them a number one contender when they don't hold a belt? When I'm holding the belt, I should be the number one contender, right? So if you want to put meaning in those words, AJ has to keep the belt.
I agree with that. Of course, there's another side to it, in all fairness. Let's go to the devil's advocate side of it, and that is that AJ's going to be next up for Seth Rollins. But we know that's not true. A lot of people wrote to me saying, well, AJ's probably going to, after all of this push, I should be the number one contender. He'll probably drop the belt and say, I'm going after bigger game. Yeah, but we know what's coming. We know the Fiend is coming up with that. And what are you going to do? Let him drop now, and then 3 months from now, he's going to go after the belt? I don't see that. I just don't see it. So I'll go with AJ Styles. I do think Cedric Alexander is going to probably get ripped off. Like, there's going to be a 2.5 or 9/10 count, and maybe Gallows and Anderson interferes, or he gets his foot on the ropes. They're going to make Cedric look like a real champion tonight, but he's not going to come out with a championship. What's your thoughts, Todd?
I kind of disagree with you on that one. I need to see Cedric Alexander to win the match, but not the title. Maybe a disqualification or count out.
Okay, so you're saying he's going to win, but he's not going to win the belt. He's just going to win the match, and they're going to maybe have another match. Well, you know, that's something to consider, because while every single belt is up on the line, there doesn't have to be a solid finish to every single match. That's for sure. New Day versus The Revival. Well, The Revival's an interesting couple of guys, aren't they? Because they still haven't made their decision of whether they're staying in the WWE or not. And as of just a couple of days ago, when I forget who it was, maybe it was one of the Young Bucks or someone had asked, maybe it was Cody Rhodes, that someone asked him on Twitter, what team would you love to see in the AEW that currently isn't in the AEW? And they replied, the Revival. And instantly, Dash Wilder replied with a sort of a thinking emoji, like, they're playing this for all it's worth. I don't blame them. They're businessmen. They're clearly sending a message to the WWE. We're unsure. Show us what you can offer us. Treat us as good as you can at the risk of losing us, because we haven't made up our mind yet. The trouble with doing that, the trouble with playing hardball with the WWE, is they'll play it back. And I'm not sure the WWE is losing sleep over losing The Revival. That's the problem. It's not like The Revival is Kevin Owens. It's not like The Revival is Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins or AJ Styles or any of those people. I'm not saying they're not immensely talented. They are. But they have not been booked as being guys that the fans are paying big money to see. So I don't think they're losing too much sleep over it. If they want to go, I think they'll just say, well, go ahead and go then. Maybe I'm wrong. But if you keep poking the bear, and Vince McMahon's the bear, and if you keep poking the bear with these, maybe I will go to AEW, maybe I won't, maybe I will, I can see Vince McMahon saying, to hell with them. And maybe you're cutting your own throat. I'm going to go with a New Day here. I just think that they don't have that faith in The Revival right now, and I don't think they're just going to hand it to them to try to essentially beg them to stay, Mike.
Right. And to tell you the truth, you know, I'll pick the New Day as well, because one, for them to keep this on this angle, I know that it looks like they're trying to split Kofi from the New Day, but to keep them on this angle that the New Day is the most powerful thing in the WWE, they have to keep holding the championships at least until the point in time when somebody like the Usos or somebody like that comes up and steps up and we get another one of those 5-star tag team matches between the New Day and the Usos or somebody like that. So yeah, it's going to be the New Day, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if they stay here, like we said earlier, they're going back to NXT, the revival.
Yeah, could very well be that too. It could very well be that too. Todd, what's your thoughts?
I gotta go with the New Day to retain a tag team, the SmackDown tag belts. I don't think you're gonna see the revival get be champions for a while.
Yeah, I'm not even sure the revival is going to stay where they are. We'll see what ends up happening with that. I'm not buying into them handing them the tag team belts just to appease them. Because I think actually the revival would be more appeased if they sent them to NXT. That's odd but true, you know? I think if you said to the revival, we'll give you the WWE's SmackDown tag team belts or we'll send you to NXT, I think they'd say send me to NXT. I really do. So I'm not sure the belts would appease him anyway. We'll see what ends up happening. Let's go for, I guess we'll go for I don't know whether Sami Zayn's going to be in his corner or not. I presume he will. They kind of downplayed that a lot on Thursday, which was weird. Really weird. I don't know what that was all about. Or Tuesday, I should say. I'm torn with this one. There's a very real part of me that says The Miz, because they've treated him so badly lately that they might want to put something on him, figuring he needs it. And then there's another part of me that says, I thought the WWE was trying to tell the story of Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn being a faction, and Sami Zayn becoming so that apparently, or at some point in time, Shinsuke Nakamura was going to go off on him, and we were going to see a series of Sami Zayn Nakamura matches. Maybe neither is true. I do know this. Shinsuke Nakamura does not look like an extremely happy guy. He's a professional and he's going out and he's doing his job and he's good. But the passion that we saw with NXT and when he first came to the WWE, I don't see it anymore. I see a guy who's saying, I'm doing what I'm told and I'm finishing out my contract. For that reason alone, they may hand to The Miz. For that reason alone. But the way they booked them is, this was a horrible loss. Nakamura does, in fact, lose this, and it doesn't involve Sami Zayn screwing up, where Nakamura now has a feud with Sami Zayn. That's going to be about it for Nakamura. You're not going to see him in any big spots anymore. You're not going to see him in a major role anymore. He's just going to play out his contract and either go back to Japan, or I don't know what he's going to do. But I just don't see that same spark in Nakamura, and I think he's just a bored wrestler. And for that reason, they may give it to The Miz. I'm going to say that I do think somehow The Miz is going to get a hold of this belt because I don't see Nakamura going on to face anyone, unless they're bringing Rusev back to do that. Maybe that'll happen. If that's the case, maybe Nakamura hangs on to it. But I don't see anybody in the wings for Nakamura. On the other hand, fan pointed out to me, and he's right, well, SmackDown's filled with face champions. It's very true. So I'm not sure. This one is one I'm really not sure about. I'm going to say The Miz, but I could be very, very wrong. Mike, what's your thought?
I'm going to say The Miz, but like you said, I could be very, very wrong on that. I mean, I don't know. I guess Miz and Mrs. is starting up a new season, so maybe The Miz is going to be taping some here and there. and he might not be there. But again, when he said in the last, I think it was in the last interview he did about this, that he's the one that brought prestige to that title, then maybe if they give it to him, maybe he can do it again, you know?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. This is a tough one to call, Todd. What's your thoughts?
Like you said, it's going to be a tough one to call, but I think I'm going to go with the Miz winning the Intercontinental title back and bring that prestigious thing back to that title and make it worth something exciting again.
Yeah, it's a shame that Nakamura couldn't, because he has the ability to. Absolutely no question about it. He has the ability to. They just haven't used him to do really anything. It's a shame. It's really a shame how the WWE really undermined Nakamura almost from the time he got in. There's a lot of people who say that one mistake he made where he dropped John Cena on his head changed everything for Nakamura. Because that was the top guy at the time was John Cena. He was doing a whole bunch of stuff, and he was very much needed in the storylines, and Vince McMahon was livid at Nakamura for taking liberties and not being safe. And since that time, Nakamura's never been treated overly well in the WWE. He's been given belts, but what does it mean? He never defends them. He's given no television time. The mystique is sort of gone. And handing him this belt, I don't know. You handed him this belt and a storyline with, I guess, a storyline with Sami Zayn. And if you pull this away from him tonight, then he's, I don't know what's left for him. Not much. Not much. So I could be wrong on this. Maybe they're going to try one more run with Nakamura. But I don't know. There's just something, call it instinct, but there's just something that says there was no reason to put the Miz in this match unless he's winning. Because he's lost, I don't know how many matches in a row. Hasn't really been booked as being anything world-beating, and now all of a sudden he gets a title shot, and what are you going to do, just bury him farther? It's weird. I don't think that's really what they want to do either. So it's tough. It's a tough one. I think it could go either way, which is really good. We don't get a lot of those matches where we're extremely unsure about what's going to happen. This, I think, is one of them. But I think we're all taking the Miz by at least a hair. Okay, so let's go to Bayley versus Charlotte Flair. This match has totally been ruined. I don't know what Einstein thought. This would be a great idea to book a heel Charlotte Flair against a face Bayley and then have Bayley turn heel in the middle of this feud so that it's a heel versus a heel and nobody's going to get cheered. I almost want to reserve my judgment for this one because what I think is going to affect another match. And what I think is that we're going to walk out of this Clash of Champions with Bayley and Sasha both being women's champion. So I'm going to go with Bayley. I think maybe Sasha will interfere or something will happen. I don't see them taking it away from Bayley simply because with Sasha returning and this huge, huge storyline going on with them, Mike, it would be detrimental.
Yeah, it would be detrimental, and I mean, I still think they have it in the back of their mind. Maybe not at WrestleMania this year, but maybe at SummerSlam next year or something, or you know, Clash of Champions or whatever next year. That we get Sasha Bayley again.
Yeah, at some point, I think that's where they want to go. I don't know when, but I think that's at some point that's where they want to go. Todd, what are you thinking?
I gotta go with you. I gotta go with Bayley to retain her SmackDown Women's belt over Charlotte.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think it's not going to be a fair retention, but at some point we'll probably see Sasha Banks out there returning the favor and helping Bayley to retain. I'm told we have got to reset our system. Sorry about that, folks. Give us 2 minutes and we will be back on the air. We're just resetting. Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. So far, yeah, we're in agreement on the Bayley retaining her belt, and we may as well go to the next, and that is Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks, because they're going to tie in. If Bayley retains, and my assumption is this match will be before Becky Lynch's match. If Bayley retains, Sasha will win. No doubt in my mind. They've almost already tipped their hand, folks, because they're saying that Becky Lynch is going to end up on SmackDown on a regular basis, and she's the Raw Women's Champion. So they've sort of tipped their hand there, haven't they? Now, I'm going to tell you that I think this is, I guess it's okay, but I do think it sends a bad signal, and that is if you throw a temper tantrum, even if she's right. I'm not saying Sasha Banks isn't right about a lot of things she said. But at the end of the day, this can be looked at as if you throw a temper tantrum, refuse to come to work, go on social media and say a whole bunch of bad things about the company you work for, threaten to never, ever, never, ever come back, you'll get everything that you want. They will eventually acquiesce and hand you the belt. That's how it's going to be perceived. I don't care whether fans agree or disagree with Sasha Banks. It's not a matter of disagreeing or agreeing. It's a matter of she took her ball and went home, played hardball with them, and said, I'm not coming back. I'd rather just never wrestle again. And if they hand her this belt, whether she deserves it or not, it's going to look as if it is a gift for agreeing to come back. And how does that look to the other wrestlers who say, well, maybe I'll just do the same thing. If I'm not happy with the way I'm being treated, I'll just walk. And if they want me back bad enough, they'll promise me the belt and a main event at pay-per-views and all this kind of stuff. And if they don't, well. So I'm not sure I would agree with this if that's their mindset, Mike.
Right. But again, If Becky Lynch is going to go, so they're going to go to SmackDown anyway. They're almost in a catch 22 here. If Becky Lynch, they can't allow Becky Lynch to go to SmackDown with the Raw Championship, unless they're going to think at some point to combining both championships. But that should be way, way, way down the line if they're going to do that. So, I mean, if Becky's going to go to SmackDown anyway, then you almost have to, even if you think and is giving in to her demands and her temper tantrum, you're almost going to have to give it to Sasha.
Yeah, they are in a catch-22. It's a weird situation what happened with Sasha Banks. And again, the fans are very divided on this. We spoke about it at length, and I've said that Sasha brought up some great points. No question in my mind that she brought up some great points. However, it's still going to be perceived as favoritism. It's still going to be perceived as a bribe. It's still going to be perceived as caving in and giving her everything she wants. And had they done this to a Nia Jax or someone else, we would have been blowing our gasket saying, why are you giving her everything? So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I really would have to examine it a lot closer to say whether I'm for or against this. I get where there is some value in Bayley and Sasha holding the belt simultaneously and looking like a force to be reckoned with. But I also get where fans are coming from that says, well, you know, if you whine and complain and kick and stamp your feet like a baby and threaten to leave, they'll give you what you want. So it's a tough one. Todd, what's your thoughts on Sasha and Becky Lynch?
I'm going to go with Sasha being the new women's champion because of what you said about Bayley. I think they're going to be a wrecking force to mess with as two champions on two different shows and maybe make something out.
Yeah, I'd agree. You know, I don't know, folks. Sasha Banks going to be a better champion than Becky Lynch? No. Is there more matches for Sasha Banks? Probably there is, because Becky Lynch has been fighting mostly the heel roster. And this dichotomy that they've got with Bayley, where Bayley's still saying, well, I don't really see how I'm a bad guy. I'm being loyal to my friend. If being loyal to my friend makes me a bad guy, I'm not sure why. And they're making her sort of look naive. They're making Bayley look not like a bad guy, but a very, very weak-willed, weak-kneed, innocent, naive child who doesn't realize she's being played. And if that's what they want us to think, then the reason they want us to think that is because eventually she's going to fight Sasha. And they haven't flipped Charlotte. It's not like Charlotte's coming out there saying, you know, face type things. So that's also another indication that they're kind of trying to play Bayley as like this tweener. She hasn't changed her music. She hasn't changed the little wacky waving arm men thing. She hasn't changed anything. So I think that's where they're going with that. Let's do Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton. You know, the shame about this is that this could have been really, 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 really good, and I think they let it get away from them. In other words, there was so much early buildup that by the time we got to the late buildup, it was old hat. Randy Orton probably has no chance to win this. I just don't see why you'd have Randy Orton be the champion. Fox would be delighted to have Kofi Kingston as champion. Randy Orton's still on the card, so it doesn't matter. He's a big name. We get it. But I think Fox would be delighted to have Kofi Kingston as the champion. It's just more demographic added to the situation. So I'm going to say that Randy Orton is going to do exactly what I predicted he would 3-4 weeks ago, and that is put over Kofi Kingston and solidify his championship reign as being legit. For months and months, Corey Graves specifically has been told to say that Kofi Kingston's reign is not legit. Kofi Kingston got lucky. Kofi Kingston's over his head. He's doing this with smoke and mirrors. He's playing way above his head, and eventually he's going to come back down to earth. And he's fought a few people, yes, and got lucky, but nobody like Randy Orton, who's a multi-time champion. And that's all we've heard. And I think the reason we've heard this is because then when he does win and wins clean, everyone has to say, well, there's no doubt anymore. Kofi Kingston deserves that championship. Kofi Kingston is indeed the WWE's champion and deservedly so. And that'll solidify his championship reign. Randy Orton as champion, I don't know where that would go. Been there, done that, how many times? You want to keep doing it? I don't think so. John Cena's not coming back to be a... I don't think at this point, I would be very shocked if John Cena breaks that record, because from everything I'm hearing and everything I'm told, John Cena is not done with the WWE, but John Cena is effectively done with long-term commitments to the WWE. He'll come back and do a pay-per-view. He'll come back and maybe do a couple of weeks. But to put a belt on him, I have to say it's not a sector. And I do think the WWE wanted him to beat that record. They probably want him to beat it even more now that Ric Flair's decided to sue the WWE. But I don't think it's in the cards for John Cena. I'd be surprised. Making much, much, much more money out in Hollywood, doing much, much, much better. And the years are catching up. So I think Kofi will win this, Mike, and I think Randy Orton will just solidify his championship reign.
I think so, too. And here's what's sad about Randy Orton. If he hadn't become a lazy wrestler over the past few years, he might be, because he's already, I think, at 13 or 14 championships. He might be the guy, if he wasn't such a lazy wrestler, you know, he might be the guy to break that record, because he's not going to go make any movies anytime soon. And he'll be around, they won't use him much, but he'll be around doing his whole thing about the RKO out of nowhere and all that stuff. And you know, if he wasn't so lazy, you know, if he worked hard, maybe he could break the record. But then again, it's Randy Orton I'm talking about, so you know what you're going to get from him, and it's going to be Kofi. And I wouldn't at all be surprised to see in this match that the guys come out and try and do something with Randy Orton to maybe cause Kofi to lose the match, but Kofi overcomes it, you know?
Yeah, I think if they're going to stay with Kofi, and I firmly believe they will, Kofi's going to look very strong at the end of this. And that's Randy Orton's job tonight. Randy Orton's job is, we put the belt on Kofi. We realize we hadn't really promoted him as being a top dog and a guy who would be a champion. We did our best to make his reign look legit, but right now it's not looking that legit. Randy, your job is to go make him look legit. That's what I firmly believe. So, because a Randy Orton title reign, I just don't think means much. I really don't. If Kofi's going to lose, he's going to lose at WrestleMania. He's not losing here. Todd, what's your thoughts? Kofi Kingston or Randy Orton?
I got to go with Kofi. He just won the belt back this year's WrestleMania. What's the sense of not losing it now?
Yeah, I think he's going to hold it at least a year. That brings us, of course, to Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman tag team. First, we'll do that against Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. There's no way Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman walk out of this match the tag team champions. No way. Now, I've heard that maybe the OC is going to come down and interfere, cost Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman the match. That's very possible. But they're not walking out as the champions. Because it just doesn't make any sense. It never made any sense. The whole real storyline here never made any sense. As AJ Styles has correctly pointed out time and time and time again, the whole storyline really doesn't make any sense. They win the tag team titles by virtue of what? They never had a match. And Braun Strowman gets a title shot by virtue of what? Looking at the tag team, looking at the championship. It's absurd. So the whole thing doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just hype for this pay-per-view. And to be honest, it's really just hype for The Fiend. So this is the one that makes me the most nervous, and I'll tell you why. Because no matter what, and I've heard some other people now starting to agree with me, which I'm glad to see, because before everyone was like, you got to give The Fiend the belt immediately, The Fiend, he has to be the champion. Now people are starting to back off of that and say, yeah, maybe not. Maybe he really shouldn't be the champion. Maybe this isn't a character that needs a belt or should desire going after one. And I could not agree more. This match makes me nervous because I know The Fiend is going to be in it either at the end or he's going to have some play in the decision. And either way it goes, it's going to lead to The Fiend at Hell in a Cell, apparently with Seth Rollins, because the WWE slipped and already advertised that match. They already advertised that match. There's a glaring error. I mean, I don't know how you do this when you're a billion-dollar company, but they did it. And I just say to myself, what good is that? I don't think this is the best use of The Fiend. I just don't. If he loses at Hell in a Cell, the whole mystique is over. If he wins, what the hell is he supposed to do? Why would he continue to attack people at random if he's a champion? Now he's got to worry about defending it. I don't like it. Defending it just means you're going to lose it. And if a couple of months down the road he has to lose it, it's... Who knows? Maybe he'll lose it to Finn Balor. Maybe Finn took his ball and went home. Maybe Finn said, I'm going to go out for a couple of months, and when you decide to treat me right and hand me a belt and pat me on the ass and give me all the top spots, I'll come back. A la Sasha Banks. I don't know. What I do know is he belongs nowhere near a title shot. You want to interfere him in a match, go right ahead. You want to get him in a feud with Braun Strowman or Seth Rollins, not for a belt, go ahead. But The Fiend and the character he is supposed to be portraying and a championship could not be farther apart. And I'm worried that the WWE is on the verge of ruining one of the only really, really, really good things they have going. Now, maybe they got something planned. I don't know. I hope so. So for this one, I have to pick Seth Rollins because the WWE advertised Hell in a Cell match. I don't know how he's going to win. I don't think he's going to pin Braun Strowman clean. I wouldn't assume. Maybe he will. But apparently we're getting Seth Rollins versus The Fiend. So I'm going to go with Seth Rollins, Mike. What's your choice?
I'm going to go with Seth Rollins as well. But what if they pull the whole thing where The Fiend comes out and decimates everything in that match? You know, and maybe even do it twice in a row with the tag team match. Have The Fiend come out and decimate everybody in that tag team match. It doesn't matter. I mean, he's supposed to be this force, and it shouldn't matter who he decimates anyway. So, you know, why not?
I mean, that match could go to some kind of a double disqualification. Absolutely could. It would keep Braun Strowman looking strong. He didn't lose. It would keep Seth Rollins the champion. So then that advertisement would be correct. So that could certainly happen. I 100% predict The Fiend interferes in at least the heavyweight championship match. I don't know, they'll waste him on the tag team, but they will definitely. He will definitely have something to say. He will be in this pay-per-view, put it this way. And, yeah, I mean, that would be the smart money because then Braun Strowman doesn't have to lose. And he still, maybe has a future feud with The Fiend, I guess. I don't know. This is the one I worry the most about because you're now injecting a character who is supposed to really just be a mindless weapon of destruction that Bray Wyatt unleashes when he's unhappy. and you're turning it into a guy who wants a championship belt. I could see the character in the sweater vest wanting the championship belt. I don't see the Fiend as wanting a championship belt. So let's go to Todd first. Todd, what's your thoughts? Who wins this?
Like you said, I got that feeling you're going to see that match with Strowman and Rollins and a no contest due to the Fiend.
Yeah, I mean, because I think the WWE figures, look, a no contest is going to cause a lot of people to boo on a cheap ending, but not if it's because the Fiend showed up, because they're going to give, that's going to be a pop. So I think they feel safe on letting that be a rip-off ending as long as the Fiend is involved. I don't know. I have such mixed emotions on it because while I want Bray Wyatt's character to do well, I want it to be front and center. I want it to be a featured character. I know in my heart of hearts that any championship match that leads to him winning is going to be a disaster for this character. And he can't lose either, or it's a disaster for the character. So you've painted yourself in a corner. All he could do is get disqualified. And maybe that's what the WWE has in mind, just a series of, well, I mean, he was mauling him, but he got disqualified. Maybe that's what he has in mind. But then that character is going to grow old quick because people are going to say, well, there's never a decision with him. You got to play this character very smart if he's going to have any longevity. This is one of those characters that, if used incorrectly, has a very short shelf life. Very short. It's got to be used absolutely perfectly to get the maximum potential out of this character. And rushing him into a title match is not absolutely perfectly, in my opinion. So overall, what are we looking at the pay-per-view? Well, I think that one of the women's championships will change hands. I think Sasha will win. I think the tag team championships will change hands because I think that there's no way that Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins comes out on top. The 205, I mean the 24/7, I don't know where that's going and I don't even care. And I think that might be it. Maybe The Miz gets that belt. Maybe The Miz gets the Intercontinental belt. And that's about it. I think two or three title changes is probably it. What's your thoughts overall on the card, Mike? It looks like it's going to be a long one, and there's some of these matches that weren't what I would call overly built up.
Right, and look, this is not your true class of champions as I remember it back in the WCW days. The true class of champions was always the U.S. champion versus the world championship, or the U.S. heavyweight tag team champions versus the world tag team champions, or even the television champion versus the U.S. championship. You know, that's how I remember the Clash of Champions, and that's not what this is. So how can we call it a Clash of the Champions when it's not what basically you would remember as a Clash of Champions?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's not the same. But what are you going to do? The WWE's changed all of that around. And I know there's some people saying, wait a minute, wasn't the King of the Ring final supposed to be? No, they're going to do that. I guess they're doing it Monday. That's changed now. Originally, I think the King of the Ring finals was supposed to be today on this pay-per-view. They have changed it. Why they've changed it, I don't know. Probably just because of the length of the card. A lot of matches on this card. Three of which is tag team matches, and it's going to take a little while. So I'm expecting a four-hour marathon. I'm expecting the fans to get worn out. And I'm expecting that the WWE is going to rely upon The Fiend to close the show and get that pop from the crowd. My worry is, how does that make Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman look if The Fiend gets the biggest reaction, and a positive reaction, by the way? So we'll see. I mean, overall, I think that the WWE is in this transitional stage. They are trying very, very hard to get all their ducks in a row for SmackDown, Raw, the NXT show, deciding how they're going to combat AEW, boost their sagging ratings, do all that kind of stuff. And they're in this sort of transitional period where they're feeling everything out and they're throwing things on the wall to see if it sticks. So I'm not expecting this to be a barn burner, to be honest with you. I'm expecting this to be a solid pay-per-view. That, I think that's the minimum you can expect. If it's anything less than that, there's no excuse. But I don't expect this to be a earth-shattering, oh my God, I can't believe the following things happened type pay-per-view. I think they're going to kind of sit pat for the most part, change a couple of minor belts, and just roll with the punches until they get to the draft. The only major, major belt I see changing hands tonight, if you don't want to count the Raw Tag Team Championships, which we all know is changing, is I do believe Becky Lynch is dropping her belt. I think she's had it long enough. She's fought everybody there is to fight, really. There's nobody left except for Sasha. And the fact that they want her over there on SmackDown has probably sealed her fate. What's your overall thoughts on the card tonight, Mike?
Yeah, you're right on Becky Lynch. And really, right now, she doesn't need the belt. You know, whereas Sasha needs the belt. Not that I agree with giving her because of what we said earlier about her stamping her feet and throwing a tensor tantrum, but she needs the belt. All right, you know, for the simple fact that we know where they want to go with it, she needs the belt. So that's going to happen, and The Fiend probably is going to happen with him interfering. And of course, I really do think that, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Charlotte Flair and what's up with her not being flipped, you know. Which they should do it, but they're not going to do it because then, you know. But again, if you're going to have Bayley be this innocent little thing, you know, isn't that kind of sort of what they're trying to do with Nikki Cross? Kind of, sort of?
Yeah, kind of, but I think they gave up on it. I really think that they. I don't know if they knew where the Nikki Cross thing was going. I firmly believe that they initially had one of two things in mind. Either Alexa Bliss would turn on Nikki Cross like she did everyone else, and Nikki would go back to being that psychopathic character that Alexa Bliss made even worse and had to deal with, or Nikki Cross was setting up Alexa Bliss and was always that psychopathic character, and they were going to flip Alexa Bliss. Then they had a strange chemistry, and they said, well, I don't know. The fans are taken to this. Why don't we just let it play out and see what happens? And the fans never really seem to tire of that chemistry, and they sort of liked it, and they said, well, just leave it alone. So I'm not sure there is any storyline there anymore. I think they just abandon it, which they do too often. See, the idea behind it is when the fans like it, it doesn't mean you can't still pull it off. That's the in some respects, that's the best time to do it. Because if the fans are really digging this, you know, Alexa Bliss really is being friendly and really does care for Nikki Cross, that's the time to do it. That's the time to reveal Nikki Cross as, I never give a damn about her, and I'm not this person I presented myself to be, and Alexa Bliss is a fool, and Mauler like an animal. So we have a really good feud, and the fans will get behind Alexa Bliss, which they already do anyway, and Nikki Cross will be a major heel to contend with in the women's division. Panicking and saying, oh, the fans are sort of liking this, let's bail on the storyline, I don't agree with that all the time. You have to be open to changing your storyline. But sometimes it's good to throw in that curveball and say, nah, man, we're gonna pull the trigger on this. It's not like they're the most popular tag team ever. It's not like you hit lightning in a bottle and you say, oh, you know, you broke up Jericho and Kevin Owens. And that was lightning in a bottle. And you did that. So why not Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss? That one always bothered me a bit. So we're going to go with our lock of the pay-per-view. This is the one match that we would bet our houses on the outcome of, and we would be homeless if we lost. And I'm going to go to Todd first and see what your lock of this pay-per-view is, Todd.
Seth Rollins walking out as WWE Universal Champion.
Okay, well, I think that's pretty safe, especially considering that the WWE posted the advertisement for Hell in a Cell was saying Seth Rollins versus The Fiend. God, just terrible. That's inexcusable, really. Mike, what's your lock of the pay-per-view this time?
Becky Lynch dropping.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe, too, because once again, when they're showing the SmackDown comes to Fox and they're showing Becky Lynch, there's a big mystery. I don't know. The WWE, for a company that's been in business so many years, makes some very, very rookie mistakes. They really do. They make mistakes that really just make you shake your head and say, does anyone care? Is anyone supervising here? My lock of the pay-per-view is going to be Kofi Kingston retaining. Randy Orton getting the belt equals SmackDown ratings in the tube. And they can't afford to do that. Absolutely cannot afford to do that. But I think there's a lot of locks. I don't think this is a pay-per-view filled with a tremendous amount of mystery, so it better be filled with a tremendous amount of really good quality wrestling. They better a lot of matches, but they better flesh them out and let the participants really shine. Because if they try to rush some of these, or they just gloss over some of these to get to the bigger ones, I think the fans are going to be unhappy. There are matches here. AJ Styles and Cedric Alexander should have 20 minutes. If they don't have 20 minutes, that's a shame. Now, I can understand you might not want to give Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman 20, 25 minutes when they got another match to do. But some of these matches definitely should have some time. And before we say wrap this up, I did want to mention that I recently heard Mojo Rawley talk about NXT and some people in NXT. And he was saying, and I think he's correct, that now NXT no longer considers being called to the main roster a promotion. And he worded it very articulately, actually. He's a very articulate man. He didn't say, oh, well, you know, it's better to stay in NXT. He didn't say that at all. What he said was, the three are getting very close, where it's just a change of brand, but it's not really, it's not a promotion. It's just changing where you're going. You're still, you know, you're still on the same par as you always was. You're just wrestling for a different brand. So he was actually pumping up NXT, saying NXT has reached a level now where he feels they're equal to Raw and SmackDown. And there is no, we're being called up to the majors, because NXT is the majors. So he's saying it's the equivalent of being traded to another league, Major League Baseball team, not being called up from the minors. And it's an interesting philosophy, and it's one that I think is correct. And I think when NXT actually does debut this week on USA Network, it's going to grow to a level that it may actually be a demotion to be called the Raw and SmackDown.